It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Center fire, they
score! On 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Up right wing, drills it ahead. It's kicked behind the Bruins net. Halak, back of the net to Chara. He's going to eat the puck, and we've gone final here in Calgary. The Boston Bruins are a perfect 3-for-3 thus far on the road trip, making 11 wins in 12 games as they record a 4-3 regulation win over the Flames here at the Saddle Dome tonight.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. 2 full hours of Bruins talk in the NHL. Trade deadline, couple of days away. Bruins with a win last night in Calgary. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning, but a lot of our focus is going to be on the trade that was made yesterday, as well as the, you know, what the possibilities might be of seeing anything else from the Bees between now and Monday afternoon. We are joined in studio this week by Billy Jaffe, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed after a late night on Nesson last night. You had the jacket off. You were going just vest last night in the suit.
Yeah, post-game was just, it was vest only. If it was any later, it might have been no tie. I still don't get it why we wear ties. I got to be honest with you. It's so old. But anyway, yeah, no, it was late night, and I was ready to just, you know, you're sitting down, you're casual. Let's, nice victory. Let's just have a nice chat. That's what I said. Let's just have a nice chat. Sans sport or suit coat.
Well, that's what we're here to do this morning.
All right.
Have a nice chat. Trade deadline coming up on Monday. Don Sweeney pulls the trigger on a deal yesterday. Mm-hmm. Andre Kashi coming to Boston in exchange for a first-round pick. David Backes, mm-hmm. at least three-quarters of David Backes' contract, and Axel Anderson. We'll get into the Backes thing and the implications of that coming up, but tell us a little bit about Andre Kashi, because I'm guessing a lot of people in Boston have not either seen him play at all or don't know much about this guy and what he might bring to the table.
Right, and they want to know who you're talking about right now, because they say the Bruins traded for Andrej Case.
Yeah.
And it's pronounced Andre Kasha. And listen, I mean, all kidding aside, you know, you got to get used to some of the pronunciations. And it's, so it's K-A-S-E, Kasha. And so Andre is 2014 draft, late draft.
Seventh round of
Anaheim. Same draft where earlier, much earlier, David Pastrnak, his countryman, was drafted. They're both Czech natives. And Andre is a player that many ways like Pastrnak, high energy, high skill, high motor, a ton of fun. They used to call him the Energizer Bunny. Randy Carlyle called him that in Anaheim. And he's the type of player that, before we look at the statistics, but his, I would say the biggest question is his health. Is, can he stay healthy? He's listed at 5'11", 186, and I've seen 6'1", 185. So I've seen him lose an inch, gain a pound, gain an inch and then lose a pound as well. So he's a one-time 20-goal scorer, and that was back in 17-18 playing with Anaheim. He's played all parts of his four seasons with the Ducks. He's played 198 career games, 43 goals in that time. His top season was 20, was that 66-game season when he had 20 goals. The next year, he actually was trending at a higher rate, RJ. But he only played 30 games. And so there's the thing that you got to keep in mind is, if this guy stays healthy, and I've talked to numerous people. I talked to four people that know Andrei Kasha's game really well out there, very well. If he stays healthy, the Bruins got a very good second line, very good player. If he's inconsistent with his health, then you're going to look at it. You're going to say, did they still give up too much? Well, you'd argue that the first round pick would be if we're playing that hypothetical game. But the fact that you move Backus's contract and the fact that you have the depth on the right side D to move, and I think a player that's going to be nice in Axel Anderson, but not for 2 to 3 years probably.
Right.
That's how you have to develop your pipeline. That's what you do, your trade depth, and that's what it is. So overall, Kasha is thrilled to be traded. Look, he enjoyed his time by everything I'm told in Anaheim, team that drafted him, team where he had a little bit of success. But he's looking at where he's going from, to a team that's really struggling, to a team with Krejci and Pasternak, two fellow countrymen, with an opportunity to play a vital role for this team. And I'm telling you, folks, he flies. He hunts pucks. He's going to finish. Like, I always call Carson Kuhlman the puck hunter. That's what This guy does the same type of thing. He's tenacious. And just like Carson, he's not going to run you over. Carson will be, I think, a little more physical, but he knows he's not that big, so he's gonna save his energy and not try and use it all the time in the physical aspect. He's gonna use his feet to be physical, so to speak. Kasha is the same way. He's not gonna hit many people, but he wins pucks, gets to the wall, and goes to the net. And then he can finish. He's got a great shot too.
The different aspects of this trade. Obviously, you needed to bring in somebody who can play that role alongside David Krejci on the right wing. That's an annual tradition around here. Mm-hmm. Is who are they going to get to play that spot? The fact that Kasha is under contract for next year,
mm-hmm,
is a restricted free agent after next year.
So you still
own his rights. Beyond next season too. If things work out. This is a guy who might stick around here for a while,
right?
Which is a huge bonus.
Therein
because
lies the first round pick.
Combine that with the fact that you had to give up something to get the Backus contract off of your books too. Because if you had gone into this and said, "We'll trade you David Backus and his $4.5 million of his contract straight up for Kasha," that doesn't work, right? It's like, what does Anaheim care about David Backus at this point,
right?
He's not going to help turn their season around. He's not going to, be the guy who puts them over the top to anything. So realistically, you've got to sweeten that offer. And so maybe if you were just dumping the Backus contract, maybe it's not a first rounder. Maybe they would have taken a second rounder for that or something like that. But you accomplished, or Donnie Sweeney accomplished, a lot with this one deal. Because he made cap space and he got a player that he thinks can fit on this team.
No question about it. Many people thought that the Bruins would have to give up a first-round pick just to move back as his contract by using the Marleau trade earlier in the season as reference or as a comparable. I don't know. I think it was you or I don't remember if it was on this show if we talked about it or if it was one of the other shows I do here. But that was different in that Toronto absolutely positively had to do that deal to get the season going, get them under the cap, so to speak. So they had to give a first and Marleau, and they got a six-round pick back just to move that $6 million off their books. The Bruins were in a precarious position if they didn't move it, but it wasn't dire. If they didn't move David's deal, they would have bought him out in the summer. Now, this is better than the buyout.
You save a lot more money doing it this way.
Save a lot more money. So, yes, you're absolutely right. But the fact that you get a guy, let me just go back to the Patrick Marleau deal. Earlier, they traded Marleau to the Canes in return for a six-round pick. Carolina also got a conditional first-round and seventh-round pick in 2020. So that was just to move that money. So the Bruins, absolutely, Donnie Sweeney and his staff did a much better job of that because the situation was nowhere near as dire as Toronto's. But yet they made an interesting situation turn out much better. And to get a player in theory, the caliber of an Andre Kasha. The fact that he can, you can work him in to Krejci's line. You can work him absolutely with Coyle's line. And I mean, this guy, and by all four guys that I spoke with, former coaches of Andre Kasha's, former, management of his, people that do their games, all say that, if healthy, he's a regular 20 plus goal guy.
I saw something similar when I was looking around yesterday to, read up on this guy a little bit. I saw an article somebody had written before this season, basically saying, we're looking to see this guy make the jump. He's a rising star in this organization, but it was all around, if he stays healthy, we expect to see this jump. It's also difficult oftentimes to judge a guy when he's playing on a lousy team. And
well, the same token, though, he was on a much better team and he had that 20 back.
Yeah.
So do you say, okay, that's the real guy? Or I know what you're saying, but is he getting opportunities still on a bad team? Whether he's scoring or not, is he getting opportunities? And he was getting some opportunities. Last year, again, before he got hurt, team wasn't great in Anaheim. They were better than they were now, not much, but they were getting opportunities. That's the key. So I'm with you. So sometimes you can't overanalyze or over compliment a player too if he's playing in up in the lineup because there's nobody else. I look at I'm going to pick on somebody here. Anthony Duclair is an example with Ottawa. He was crushing it. I know he hadn't scored in a while. I didn't see if he scored in the last week or so, but he was crushing it. Remember early in the year? Crushing it. Meanwhile, the guy couldn't find a home for the last 2 years or so, but now he gets to Ottawa where there's no pressure, there's nothing on him, and he's playing great. Well, is he worth a first-round pick playing that well? No, because he's playing up in a lineup with no pressure on him there, too.
Doesn't mean somebody won't give that up for him, though, right?
Yeah, nobody will give up.
Sometimes, GMs get a little desperate. They start getting suckered in like the rest of us.
For Duclair. Where is he at right now? I should know. 22 goals. Right now, and he actually did have a goal on Feb 18 against Buffalo.
Let's get to some of your calls this morning in reaction to the trade, reaction to the games this week. 617-779-0985. That first period was just unbelievable.
Nobody wanted to play defense. They wanted to curl. They were curling. There's no defense in curling.
Maria in Watertown gets us started this morning. Hey, Maria.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good.
How are you?
Billy, I just wanted to ask you with regard to the trade, and I know I've been one of the ones who was, basing my assessment of Donnie as a GM as to whether or not he could fix the Backus contract, so to speak, which he seemingly has done with this trade, for which I give him credit for. The question I have is, having heard what you've been saying about Kash and reading some other things online about the potential of this young man, I have to wonder what the motivation was for Anaheim to, seemingly unload a young player who, by all accounts, has a good amount of talent. So I'm wondering, what was the motivation for Anaheim to do this?
This is my guess.
It's a good question.
First of all, accruing as many picks as possible. That's the first thing out there. I know that they want to do that.
Full-on rebuild, though.
Full-on rebuild. They are nowhere near done making moves. This is my guess. He's been hurt a couple of times, and he hasn't played a full season in his 3.5 years out there.
Mm.
My guess is that maybe they said, all right, we know Andre can be really good. We know that he could be a big part of this, but wait a second. If we can get a first-round pick and we get a defenseman that projects out in 2 years, I think Anderson has a chance to play in this league. I do. I watched him in a rookie camp and stuff, and I like his swagger. I like his style. I do. A couple of years away, but I like it.
He's still in juniors, right?
He went there
playing up in
year.
Moncton someplace.
Unless he got traded, I'm guessing that they said maybe we're not sure about his overall durability. It's my guess. That's because I looked at the same question. I wondered the same thing. And yet, but on the other hand, I know I talked to people in Anaheim. The other directive was to get as many first-rounders as possible if they can. So they get another one. Now, granted, it's a late first-round pick, but maybe they end up having three or four first picks if they do some other things. And next thing you know, you're like, okay, well, remember, they can take those I'll look it up right now on how many picks they have. If they have multiple picks, they can package them and then they can accelerate their
rebuild. Try and move up.
By moving up.
Yep.
Or they can go out and move them for a player, another young player that needs to be moved. You know, there's a lot of things, but draft
picks. Or you could just use them all. I've seen teams around here do that.
Yes. Yes, good point.
617-779-0985. We're here to take your calls this morning. Billy Jaffe is with us. We'll talk with Ty Anderson coming up a little bit later on in the hour. Judd and Bob will join us from out west later on in the second hour of the program as well. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning.
Shoe center fire! Star!
The Hockey Show on your home of the Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe here with you.
I looked up quickly. Anaheim has two picks in the first round right now. Theirs, which is going to be very high. And the Bruins, right now it's going to be very low. Anaheim will make at least another move. I know it. I mean, I talked to people out there. Maybe even, I don't know, maybe two. But they're going to try and get themselves into a... I'd say a three first round pick.
They're in Danny Ainge mode right now.
Yeah.
Just collect those draft picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go to Lenny in the car. You're next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Love the show because they don't talk about the Bees all week, and I think it's undeservedly so. They're the hottest team in town.
We do. Wait, got a great... no. People say, but we're doing Toucher and Rich at from 9 to 9:30 every Wednesday. You know that, right, Lenny?
No, but I'm talking about, you know, during the day, you know, when they call them, they don't talk hockey, they talk Red Sox, and it's crazy. And this team deserves the attention.
Yep.
And it was a great trade yesterday. People, non-hockey fans probably screaming, why not Kreider? Why not this guy? Why not that guy? But this kid will fit the mold, like Billy said, perfectly. Perfect, for this team and what they need. And the biggest moves for the Bruins came last month when they sent down Backus and Richie and Camper and brought up Lazon and Coleman because it's creating an internal competition. And when you have guys that are fighting, bringing in other guys that are fighting for jobs, I mean, it's only good for your team. And you're seeing the benefits of now. I mean, this kid Lazon, even I wasn't too high on him, but he's went out there and he's won the job over Johnny Moore. And it's good they have more in the wings. But Sweeney is really, really doing a great job. And people kind of criticize him. I mean, you can't go out and spend $7 million on Chris Kreider when you have Torrey Krug coming up to sign and all these other guys. So I think the team deserves a lot more, you know, attention. If they stay healthy, they're going to be in for an epic showdown with Tampa come maybe the second round.
I agree with
appreciate it, Lenny.
With all of that. The Lozon thing, it's an interesting comment that Lenny had there about, I wasn't even that high on him. That has to be a lesson, and I say this every year about a certain player, that has to be a lesson there in patience. Players, you know, we want, it's like instant gratification of these kids that are 19, 20, 21. It's like going to a restaurant. You want to be satisfied that meal, which, you know what, you should be on that meal, right? Mm-hmm. But these players are not restaurants. They're not meals. They are long-term buffets, so to speak. You got to play it out. You got to pace yourself, people, when you go to the buffet, right? If you gorge yourself on those crab claws or whatever, you know what I mean? Those crab legs right away, you know, you can't eat the rest of it. What good is it? These kids, we want them at 19. And we're guilty of this even at the youth hockey level, by the way. We want 9-year-olds to play like 19-year-olds. You know, we want these 19-year-olds to play like 29-year-olds. And we have to remember that that's what the American League and the tutelage is there for. And Jeremy Lozon, I think, is a perfect example. Here is a guy that was a second-round pick back in 15. And we say, well, you know, we weren't sure about him. Hey, he could be. He might not be. You see him? I saw him last year. We talked about, I know on this show, we talked about his potential to be a depth defenseman. Well, lo and behold, holy smokes, he's a depth defenseman. And now a depth defenseman that played over 17 and a half minutes last night, got into a scrap, blocked a shot that was painful through the big TVs that we're all watching. And he's munching minutes, all important minutes, and he's providing you with an element that you were missing. There's no doubt about it. Lenny's point is well taken. I just want to, you know, say sometimes we got to understand the kids aren't going to jump in right away and make us feel good, satiate our appetite for immediate return. It sometimes takes 3 years for these kids to get ready.
Well, it might take them 3 years in the minors, and then they get to the NHL. Look, I've always been told, you know, NHL defensemen, it takes like a couple hundred games,
250
before
games.
they really start. Yeah, and it's like. You're going to go through growing pains with guys like that. You know, we talk all the time about these young guys when they get called up, and you know, do they get plugged into the right spot in the lineup, and then can they bring it consistently? Because you see guys come in their first game or two, and they're going like a bat out of hell, and they're noticeable right away, and then you know they kind of settle down a little bit, and they're not as noticeable, and people go, "Oh well, this guy's not worth a damn," you know, and like that's you're right. It's a process.
It is, and we lose focus of that because we no longer live in a process world. except for the food we eat, but we live in an immediate world. Like our the things happen for us, whether it's you know our phones or whatever, everything is immediate in front of us, and we lose the perspective of patience.
Beersy has been preaching for years: let these guys develop in the AHL. Right, give these guys some time down there.
You know what screwed that up? You know what screwed that, buddy? The salary cap.
Sure.
And so now you need some of these young guys to come up. But I'm with you. I'm with Beersy 100%. By the way, just as a reminder, folks, yes, the 2015 draft still garners a lot of attention, and not unnecessarily for the Boston Bruins, more negative than positive. As a reminder, and I know the fans listening right now, most of them know this, few might not remember, but at 13, 14, and 15, they had three picks in a row. Zaboral hasn't really panned out. DeBrusk, I'd say he's doing all right. Yeah, for sure. And then Senishin, those are the three picks. So you're like, one of the three, not a great batting average in that first round. However, second round, now that Lozon looks, I'm saying looks like a player, now you had Carlo and Lozon in your second round that year, same draft. So that doesn't take the sting off of certain things that happened or didn't happen in the first round. Yet on the other hand, crap's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to make a wrong pick. Something bad's going to happen. But, hey, you know what? They're scouts, and Donnie, and they got it right in the second round for sure.
Let's go to Dan in Boston. You're next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Morning.
My question's for Billy. I have two questions, and I'll hang up and hear what he has to say. The trade that was just made, I looked at the stats. Are we getting an injured player, number one? Number two, I think he only has 6 goals, maybe. I think 16 assists this year. Don't know how much he's going to be able to contribute. The other question is, Kyle Palmieri, is this not going to happen, or does Billy think it still could happen? Those are my questions.
All right, thanks, Dan. Is this going to happen or what?
Dan, we talked at length about Andre Kasha earlier, and I'll just quickly reset if somebody's just you know getting in their cars and listening. He has 7 goals, 16 assists this year, 23 points in 49 games. He's still on IR. He is coming to Boston, I think, today or tomorrow.
It's getting over the flu right now, supposedly.
Yeah,
right?
Flu-like symptoms for what it's you know that what it's been termed. Out since Feb 7th, though. It's a long time, you know. But the flu can be debilitating. Is he going to produce? We talked at length earlier. If he's healthy, yes, he will produce with this team. Assuming he has chemistry with Krejci, I'd love to think he does. That, though, that's an assumption. That is by no means a guarantee. We thought Johansson and Krejci would have a connection last year, and it was more so Coyle and Johansson. So we have to wait and see. And that's not a bad thing, by the way. Let's wait and see. Let's not force it either. Assuming he stays healthy, Dan, yes, you have a good one here. As I said, last year was trending in the much better direction. He had 11 goals in 30 games. He would have broken his 20-goal mark from the previous year. And the other thing is, I mean, what do you ask about the Palmieri?
Yes. Is Palmieri still in play? Putting Palmieri himself aside, could they make another deal at that magnitude? Could they go after Anderson? Could they go after Palmieri? Like some of these guys we've been talking about, is Kasha the answer, or is Don Sweeney going to be serious about trying to add another piece?
He's Donnie and his staff they're excellent at keeping things chill. You know, they're absolutely looking at other stuff. They're absolutely looking at making something else happen. Now, people say, Dan asked about Kyle Palmieri. That's about, what does Tommy Fitzgerald, the interim GM in New Jersey, want to do? You don't have to go out and overpay now for Kyle Palmieri, who's a hell of a player, who's would fit again as beautifully on this team, I think, as a guy like Kasha would. And now Palmieri obviously has a couple of things. He's a little older, a little more of a track record, a little more production than Kasha has. And you know, I think that, yeah, look, if all of a sudden Tom Fitzgerald calls up Don Sweeney again and wants to talk, you better believe Donnie and his staff are going to listen. And I know that they're knocking on doors, so to speak, or, you know, looking at games. I'm absolutely convinced that they are looking to add one more thing. It could be, you know, the thing I'd really like is some more size now. Mm-hmm. I'd like some more size on this team. But I have full confidence that management is going to try hard to pull something else off. And I mean, what is it? I don't know. You're not giving up another first round pick. You're not making you're not overpaying. We were talking off air by making a deal early ish. You know, you now put yourself in a much more of a position of calmness and strength.
Right. You don't own the trade now. You call another GM, the other GM goes, oh, Donnie's desperate. Like we can really fleece him on this one. Like you're not in that desperation mode anymore.
Exactly.
And in addition to that, because of the trade of the Backus contract or 75% of the Backus contract, mm-hmm. you actually are in a spot now where you are going to be able to, you probably still are going to have to take somebody off the roster. Yep. If you're going to make another deal.
Right. Absolutely. No question.
You know, but you do have the ability to add somebody who does make a decent amount of money here. You don't have to go super cheap with your cap concerns.
No. And I, if the Bruins do make another deal, it feels like somebody off the roster will go, though. Whether it's directly for
them. Well, almost have to. I mean, look, prospects are prospects, and some of them have significant value. But you don't have a first-round pick to deal in any of these things anymore for this year. So take that out of the equation. So
I wonder, by the way, and I'm spitballing here, and maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe not. I do think the Bruins may move. They have a few repetitive assets in the team. I could see one of them. We're talking left shot guys, you know, in theory, and we have now depth. You know, look, you have Bleed and Nordstrom now and there, and you've got Heinen, et cetera, and we've seen that there is some depth at the NHL level. I could see one of those guys moving somewhere else, maybe to get another pick coming back that opens up cap space, and then you can use that pick towards something else. Or, you know, I mean, by giving up that first-round pick too, you know, let's play it out. Let's extrapolate this out. And maybe I'm going too far early. But let's say they can't sign Krug. Maybe they can't for whatever reason, okay? Mm-hmm. I hope they do. You know my position on that. But if they can't, maybe they end up trading his rights then, and they can get, they're not going to get a first round pick back, but you're going to get something sure. back, maybe a decent round pick for him. So while they do lose their first, and lose is not the right word, they traded their first. Lose is absolutely the wrong term because they use their first well in this regard. They could get back, they could accrue more picks in other early lower rounds that will help, you know, deflect that a little bit.
Anybody who might be concerned about giving up the first round pick, I mean, I would look at it this way. Is you gave up your first rounder, you got Kashi, and then you also got the ability to potentially add another player and or sign Torrey Krug
right.
in the offseason. That's a good swap.
This was a great Donnie and his staff on this one. They did an excellent job on this one.
All right, we can take more of your thoughts on the Bruins as they have already made one trade. Deadline still a couple of days away. Billy Jaffe is with us. We'll bring Ty Anderson into the fold coming up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Miss something?
This is a black and gold freight train.
Catch the Hockey Show podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
What's up, Hockey Show? Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe here with you in the Town Fair Tire Studios this week. And we welcome in Ty Anderson, who's joining us with the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Ty.
Hey, what's going on? You know what? I think this is mean. This is mean to have us do this right after a 9-10 puck drop.
Yeah, right. I think we should have started at noon today.
Touch your crap, Anderson.
What?
Come on, have a chocolate milk. Get going.
Oh, I'm out of chocolate milk. I only have the syrup. I can't do it alone.
Jeez. Yeah, you need mean to make his work, girly. I remember.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Billy? And I feel like you can relate with this. Is after a game, I get like, I'm like still kind of jacked up from the game. And I can't go to bed right away. You know what I mean? Like, do you have that kind of feeling still where, like,
dude, I don't sleep.
Game.
I don't sleep. I know. Every Wednesday night, when I used to travel to Canada, every Wednesday night, so I'd go to Canada 3 days a week, Sportsnet, do a game. Oftentimes, I would have the second national game or a late game, and I'd get done at about 1 in the morning, okay? And I'd walk next door back to the hotel. And then Thursday mornings, I'd fly back to go to a Bruins game. So I'd go to bed at 3. I'd wake up at 6 to catch a 6:20 car to take an 8 a.m. flight from Pierce. And every week I said the same thing. I can't, cause meanwhile, I'd be lucky to get 2 hours of sleep if I, you know what I mean, Ty? You can't go to bed, but that's what we do during the hockey season. So cut your whining, get your ass out of bed, and make it into the studio for crying out loud.
All right. I'm on the way right now. I'll keep you on the phone while I do it.
So your reaction to the Kase trade, what it means for the Bruins between now and Monday, what do you think it means? Going forward here, does Donnie Sweeney have another one in him in the next 48 hours?
I like this trade a lot. I really do. I like Kasha. I think that he's got I think he has a high motor. I think he shoots the hell out of the puck, which is what they really need on that right side, in my opinion. I think that's what kind of makes Kuhlman good in spurts when he's there, is that he shoots, and you want to see more of that. So I like him for that reason. Health is a concern, but you basically, in my opinion, you turned moving Backes, which you're going to have to attach a first-round pick to. So I look at it like, okay, well, you did that, and then you turned Axel Anderson into Andre Kasha. I like that. I like that move a lot for the Bruins. I think it's cost-effective. I think it's smart now and down the road. And with in terms of another move, I thought this was going to be it, and then immediately people were saying, no, they can still do more.
No, they can do more.
They still have enough to do more, and, you know, is it enough for a contradicting things with Paul Mary, right? Is he going to be traded? Is he going to stay in Jersey? You know, I wonder if that's something they can circle back to. It's harder without the first round pick, but they've created the flexibility here where they can make another big move if they want, or they can do two smaller depth moves, which I wouldn't be against either, given the nature of the playoffs. So I think they have more in them. It's just a matter of what it is and how they make it work.
My intuition is it's a smaller mid move. Or so. I mean, it would be. I think that right now, New Jersey loves the attention that they're getting for Kyle Palmieri, because if that means that somebody's going to get a little bit reckless in their bid, then Tommy Fitz is going to say, "Well, I have to listen. You know, it's his job, obviously." Right.
Right. It's like we don't necessarily want to deal him, but if somebody's going to go crazy, we'll take the deal. Right.
Absolutely. So I think that he loves this. It's not posturing. This attention. Because he's getting one thing to go back to Ty's point. Kasha this year has averaged just under 3 shots on goal a game. He's got 135 in 49 games. In his career, he has averaged 2.3 shots per game over 198 games. That's 452. So he does shoot the puck more than most other right wingers, you know, and Krejci wants you to do that.
Well, that's what you need on that line, right?
Krejci wants. Yeah. He wants you to shoot. But first thing he wants you to do is give him the puck. Then get open and then shoot and score when I give it to you. That's what keeps Krejci happy. Ty, as you look at this team, as we look at this team, the question that constantly comes up is, are they big enough? And we've seen them do great things without ginormous people. We've also seen them struggle at times. So to me, size does matter for this next move. I would probably take size over skill. Would you agree?
I would, if only because you had guys who had size that didn't pan out with Richie and Backes. So there's a need there. Maybe you don't need it every night, but it'd be nice to have it, you know, in the holster, mm-hmm. so to speak, if you get it into a series and Pat Maroon or Cedric Paquette or you know, someone in Washington is ruining your day. I mean, it'd be nice to try to have a counter to that. I would be for that. And I think at the same time, with the way that fourth line has played this year, it's been hot and cold. Maybe that's something you want back there as backup, or even on that third line too, given the way Heinen and Bjork and Kuhlman, the consistency has been an issue for some of those guys at various times this year. So I wouldn't be against that. It's just a matter of finding that guy, because I think Cassidy's made it clear that if these guys can't play, he's not going to play them. You know, as for all the intangibles they bring, he's been very honest that he's not going to address someone who can't play just because they're boogeyman protection, so to speak. So finding that guy is going to be key. I mean, I think that's the thing, right? We always want to see a physical guy brought to town. We always want to see that the next Lucic, the Tom Wilson answer. But what if they can't play? You know, does it really matter if they're big, if they can't play?
Yeah.
So I always come back to that. I mean, could that be, I'm just spitballing here, but we're talking about Jersey. Could that be Miles Wood? You look at him. I mean, it seems like he can play that style of game. Can you coax out of him every night? That seems to be a thing that people bring up. I know Beers has said that in the past. He likes him, but he wonders about the motor.
Yep.
Yeah, and the contract. He's a left shot. So you would wonder about that. But I wouldn't be. I think getting that guy up front or on the back end, because I don't think you can bank on Kevin Miller. I like that idea. I like the idea because it's just versatility within your lineup structure that I think helps if you're a cup winner. You need to be able to have options of various skill sets over the course of a four-round run, in my opinion.
We've talked a little bit leading up to the deadline about, obviously most of the conversation has been about trying to add a wing on that second line, but we've also talked about the possibility of maybe adding something defensively. Do you think that's still on the table right now?
I think it should, because I like Jeremy Lauzon. John Moore is, I feel like he just hasn't found his footing this year. And I think you can never have enough defensemen. I've said it before. I think everyone is cursed by seeing Tommy Cross play borderline top 4 minutes at one point in the playoffs that year, or in 2017, because of all the injuries. You want to avoid that. And then you sort of look at where they are. It's just, with projecting Clifton full-time coming back, it's kind of difficult because of the injury. Same thing with Miller. And then you look at where they are. I mean, they're a couple of injuries away from things getting really, really dicey back there. And you can say that about a lot of teams, yeah. But if they can find a way to add to that, I feel like they have to. They have to use your options. I'm curious what happens, though, because of their roster limits. So if we look at this, right, Bleach should probably go down when Kosh is activated. But what happens beyond that if they add a defenseman? What is the next shoe to drop if that happens? I do wonder.
I wonder, too. Let's see if everybody's healthy. Maybe somebody's dealing with a little banged up thing, so maybe they can utilize an IR there. I just like the way that obviously that this team has developed that internal competition. I mean, this to me is what we wanted. This, all season long, this type of drive. It doesn't feel like they're winning games. I won't speak for you guys. I'll throw it out there like this instead. It doesn't feel like they're winning games with just talent. They're winning it with will. I think last night was a great example of that. Would you guys agree that when they finally decided to play a little defense, they showed will and they showed smarts, and that was the key, and that's what this team needs if they're going to have a long playoff run. And by the way, a long playoff run is no guarantee, because two of the top four teams in the NHL are in the same division again. That's why we still need to go back to 1-8 instead of the divisionals. That's my take. I don't know if you guys agree.
It's a terrible format. This format is killing me. I hate it more every single season, because it devalues the 82 game grind, and it's you're punishing teams for being in good divisions, which makes no sense, or having another good team in their division.
You love when they say, well, it's cyclical. Sometimes this division is good, sometimes that division is good. And I say, the Pacific's been kind of crap for a while, and the Pacific again is.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, if you're in the Pacific Division, you love the playoff format.
Love it.
Wait, you're telling me I might be able to make
Number
it to the
one.
Western Conference Final without playing anybody good?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, and you look at it, and I did these numbers last year or the year before, because Stamkos talked about it. He said he didn't like this format. So I did the numbers, and, the conference has seen, both the East and the West, they've seen the number one against the number two in the second round, like almost over 50% of the time. I mean, you want to be able to see the best teams in the third round, in my opinion. It's nice when they meet up in the second round, but I think it sort of waters down the competition to some degree. So I want to see the best teams available for as long as possible.
You know what the league loves? I'm telling you what, Ty and RJ, I'm telling you, the league loves the first round matchups because they, when you have these familiarity and you have these intense, intense series, and they feel, the league, they feel that you have more, better chance of having these more deeply intense rivals in the or series in the first round against rivals, their ratings are better.
Yeah.
And they like that. And then they say, wait, then we suck people in. We get them that way. I disagree. I wish it was the other way, but the league doesn't seem to be wanting or willing to change it at all.
I'd at least like to see, maybe you could reseed them after the first round and open it up that way. Yes. You know, you can get a little bit of both worlds. Ty Anderson, 98.5thesportshub.com, joining us. We appreciate the time, as always.
Are you going to stay up late tonight, Ty?
I'm going to be.
He slept in this morning. He should be well rested, right?
I'm going to run to the store. I'm going to buy the biggest thing of chocolate milk they got, and I'm going to be ready to go. So we'll have fun tonight.
We will be on 9:30 pre until about 1 a.m., all right?
I can't promise you I'm making
it. Hey, Billy, this one. I meant to ask you about this. What are you trying to do to all the ladies at home? You're taking your suit jacket off last night,
late night, wearing the vest,
showing the guns. What's going on here?
Late night. It was in essence after.
What do you see after a 10 o'clock game? He's going to be in a smoking jacket. He'll have a martini. It'll be.
We're going tight white T-shirt tonight.
Unbelievable.
Oh, thanks for staying up that late.
Thanks, Ty.
Anytime.
Take care. Yeah. All right. He joins us each week at this time, of course. We got Billy Jaffe in studio. We got more of your calls coming up next. 617-779-0985 here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
It's a black and gold freight train.
All things Bruins and the NHL. It's the Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 the Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Theoretically, Billy Jaffe is here with me. I don't know where we lost Billy to. He wandered away during the break. We'll get to your calls here. 617-779-0985. We've got two Kevins. So Kevin number one, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
What's going on?
Actually, I had a question for Billy as well, but before I get into that, quick BC, good win last night, 10-1 over Northeastern. That was pretty crazy. Then I watched the Bruins in that first period. That showed me this really is a good team, which we'll get into my question, lead into my point. But Bergeron's goal, I mean, what a consummate professional. He just knows the game. The second goal, I should say, the Karen off the boards, the calmness, the way he puts it away and tucks it in. They're really, really good, we know, but... on to Danton Heinen, and you guys were talking about earlier, you know, development of players and how long he should take and this and that, and I agree. So my question is, I've never been a Danton Heinen fan. I'm going to, you know, I'll be upfront with you about that. Mm. But he's also a kid in terms of hockey. He's 24 years old, so, you know, getting a little older for a hockey player, but he probably has, what, like a year and a half, 2 years worth of NHL experience. I have no problem getting rid of him. I think he disrupts the rhythm of this team out there. I just don't think he's a good fit, top three lines. I do not. I want to know what you guys think. I have no issues getting rid of Heinen.
All right. Appreciate the call.
It'll be available.
Yeah. I mean, from the perspective of where he fits in this lineup, his performance, the cap number, yeah. Like...
Sign for next year.
If you're, you know, as we were talking about earlier, if you're going to make any other significant moves, it's still going to require you probably taking somebody off of this roster. And a guy like Danton Heinen... who, you know, they've never, seems like, really been able to find that one right spot for him. And he makes $2.8 million. He signed through next year. I got to feel like he would be a prime candidate to get moved if they're going to make another deal.
See, I like Dan Heinen a lot. And I understand callers don't.
Yep.
Some do, some don't. I get it. That's the beauty of sports. Beauty's in the eye of the viewer. But I do think he's attractive to other teams because other teams say, you know what, we know he can produce enough, but he's also so responsible enough that we need, you know, the Bruins have so many of those guys now through the lineup that a lot of other teams say, we need one of those on our team or another one to add to. We only have one right now. So because of his contract, he could. Let's not forget, the Bruins also don't have their fourth-round pick this year, so they're without their first and their fourth. Could they get a decent pick back for Heinen? I think so. I think he's established himself enough as an NHLer that he can get, when I say decent, could you for sure afford maybe a third-round pick back for a guy like him? Again, depends where he's going. And he is attractive as well because of the fact that he is signed for next year. So you could cap certainty. So, I could see... I can see a movement happening there.
All right, let's go to the other Kevin. You're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Good morning. Kevin calling here from Boston. Question about Zach Bogosian. He's now available, bought out by Buffalo. Big body, back end, 29, right shot. Any interest by the Bruins?
Kevin in Boston, is that your baby behind you?
No, it's a cat. I'm sorry.
It's a cat.
It's a cat. I think the cat is saying, no, no. I maybe a couple of years ago with Zach. I think that there, I don't see that happening right now. And it hasn't gone great for him in Buffalo. He does have good size. He does. I mean, he's a big man. But, I think if I look at the Bruins' right side, McAvoy, Carlo, now Lauzon, Clifton. I don't know. I'm not against adding a right shot D. I'm not. But I don't see that unless they get is a purely depth move and they get him at the league minimum. Because when he gets bought out by Buffalo, if he can go somewhere.
Right, but if you're looking to add depth defensively, it's going to be on the left side, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think. Although, you got to remember something. We still have a small sample size of Jeremy Lauzon.
Sure.
So it's easy to get enamored with that. But you have to say to yourself, how is this going to play out in the playoffs? Is he going to be able to handle? Now, he plays his offside regularly, so he's cool with it. He's good with it. But how's that going to play out? So I'm not against just a good depth defenseman. I'm not against that. I like Zach. I know, but I don't. It's got to be a real favorable deal, and that would be total depth. But I don't see that as the main thing right now.
All right. We've got Billy Jaffe in studio with us. We will get to more of your calls coming up at 617-779-0985. Also, Judd Surratt is going to join us from out in Vancouver this morning for a few minutes coming up on the other side of the headlines. This hour of the Sports Hub has been brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. For your 15-minute drive-through oil change, you never have to leave your car. No appointment is ever needed. Get your 15% off coupon at getanoilchange.com. We'll give you some headlines here and back to more of the Sports Hub Hockey Show in a moment.
Houston Rev splashed off the glove. Take it away.
It's the Hockey Show.
Centered fire, they score.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Hour number two here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe here in the Town Fair Tire Studios with you this week. The Bruins wrap up their road trip tonight out in Vancouver, a night after they beat the Calgary Flames in very exciting fashion. We are joined now from Vancouver by Judd Surratt on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bright and early out on the West Coast. What's going on, Judd?
I see the sun is coming up here in Vancouver, so all is good.
You're telling me your blinds are open? They're open right now? You can see it?
There's just a crack.
Exactly.
The sun coming through.
I know Judd too well. What time did you guys get in? It was about a two-hour flight, but you gained an hour, thankfully.
About an hour and 15-minute flights.
Okay.
So not bad at all. I want to say we got in local time. We probably got here around midnight.
Yeah, again an hour, so not awful.
That's plenty.
Guys feeling pretty good after that game. Were you able to keep up with everything the first couple of minutes? The craziness that happened on the that was literally a pond hockey event for the first half of the first period last night.
Holy smokes. you know, it looked like, it definitely looked like a beer league game at one point. It was going to be last goal wins. And as it turns out, the last goal came from Brad Marchand, and the Bruins did win. But, you know, I think early on, Anders Bjork joined us in the first intermission, and he said, you know, maybe there were a few things that surprised the Bruins there early on. But I think for me, the one thing that stands out was just how composed the Bruins were able to behave on the bench. And after Patrice Bergeron scored that first time, there was a great shot of him in Calgary, and he's on the bench, not celebrating the goal, but trying to get the troops to settle down and stay composed. And I think ultimately it was their poise that allowed them to tie the game. And then in the second period, they tightened up a little bit. Certainly in the third period, Calgary had plenty of chances, especially on the man advantage. A couple of key blocks by Jeremy Lauzon, Yaroslav Halak, with a couple of key saves, and they were able to milk off the rest of the time and bank two more points.
So the Bruins, you know, they go on this road trip, and they're making their way through Western Canada, and you know, you oftentimes you look at these trips, and even when things are going well, as you go to the, you know, go on a trip like this, you go, all right, so get an above 500 trip, that's pretty successful. They beat New York, they go to Edmonton, they find a way to win there. They go to Calgary last night. It doesn't start great. They find a way to win there. Now you go to Vancouver tonight, a chance at a 4-0 road trip. You know, worst case scenario, you're coming home with 6 points in four games. I mean, you'd take that and run with it if it were offered to you before you made the trip. So, you know, overall, what have you thought of the way that they've played on the trip so far? And what do you expect tonight after as they get ready to play their fifth game in 8 days?
Well, let's start in New York. I thought they played well against the Rangers, you know, and then move on. I do think that one of the advantages of this trip, Ryan and Billy, has been how they've traveled. So the Bruins spent the night in New York, and then they traveled on Monday and got out to Edmonton. They had a chance to adjust, relax, have a full practice day, and then face the Oilers. Charlie Coyle was having that conversation just before they faced off against the Oilers, that if you're going to come out west and play a swing like that, this is the way you want to do it. So then you play the Oilers, you have the Thursday off, then you have an opportunity against the Calgary Flames. I do also think, in fairness to the teams they've played against, both of those teams have been missing some key players. It's certainly a different game if you're seeing Connor McDavid on Wednesday in Edmonton, and you know, just fast forward to last night, if Travis Hamonic and Mark Giordano are in the lineup for Calgary, and then even go back to the Ranger game. The Rangers were missing Tony DeAngelo and their young star goaltender, Igor Shesterkin. So, you know, that said, you know, hey, you have to play the teams that are in front of you. You know, you don't control who's in the lineup and when you play them at certain times. But I think the Bruins have been able to cash in. They've played a consistent, detailed, defensive-oriented game and got timely goals when they've needed it. Now, here against Vancouver, this was a Canucks team that was sour about the way things went against the Bruins at TD Garden a few weeks ago. They've added Tyler Toffoli. Jacob Markstrom has been outstanding this season. So the Bruins will have their hands full tonight.
Curious to see if there's any pushback against Matt Grizzlick for the hit on Pettersson, that both Pettersson and Travis Green didn't like.
Did you even think it was that bad?
It was late. I mean, it was late. It should have been called a penalty, but that bad. We see that hit often, but Judd, it was absolutely late. Even Grizz admitted it. It was, he got him late. And meanwhile, though, I mean, it's not like it was a head hit or anything. It was just a late hit. Could have been called an interference, and then you move on from that. But do I think it was that bad? No, but it was late. Yeah, it was late. Should have been
that
called.
That may be. You know, they had plenty of guys in the lineup at that point. Antoine Roussel was playing in that game. Yeah. Jake Virtanen was playing in that game. So they didn't respond. And let's move back. I'm still confused why Matt Grizzlick got a penalty last night in Calgary.
I agree more about that. That could have been called an interference, but they called an elbow?
Yeah.
Like, no way.
The officials saw something that wasn't there.
No way. If anything, I said, okay, maybe interference. That's what I thought. Because, you know, all kidding aside, the player that you're going to step up to hit is supposed to have this puck on his stick. He's supposed to be playing the puck. I could have stomached that. When they called it an elbow and we watched the replay numerous times, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see anything.
Judd, what's your
feeling?
What's the feeling around the traveling party here with the trade yesterday and now the deadline still a couple of days away? Your thoughts about Andre Kasha coming to join this team this week?
I think they're encouraged. Chris Wagner and I had a conversation yesterday. Listen, the Bruins, they checked a number of different boxes, but you get some help in your top nine. You're able to unload the David Backes contract. That said, you know, the market was basically set on what it would take to unload a contract like that. So they give up a first. They give up a prospect in Axel Anderson. So I think that a lot of the Bruins really like the deal that was made. Plus, you don't take from your current roster and within your room in order to make that deal happen. I thought it was fascinating, by the way. So last night, Bruce Cassidy made a few subtle changes on lines 2, 3, and 4. He flipped Danton Heinen and Carson Kuhlman. And before the game, Cassidy had mentioned that he felt like the spot that Kuhlman was playing in last night is probably the spot that he fits the best. And he makes a terrific play. After an Anders Bjork block, he gets the puck up to Kuhlman, long outlet pass, puts it right on Charlie Coyle's tape. Coyle, by the way, with 15 goals and an outside shot, again at 20, for only the second time in his career. But I thought Kuhlman looked good in that spot. But for the Bruins, they're going to add a guy with a ton of energy, a guy who's highly skilled and will go to the hard areas. I think the only question really about Andre Kasha is, can he stay healthy? He's willing to go to the hard areas, but because of that, that's sometimes what gets him hurt if you talk to some of the Anaheim people.
I'm going to go back to a player you just mentioned. I know that Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron all have more points since the break, but I don't think there's been a better forward shift in, shift out. I don't say it's not close, because that would be a little hyperbolic or exaggerated. Charlie Coyle, I think he's been the most consistent forward for this team in this stretch, and impressive as all heck. Different wingers you talk about. Guy has been so dominant, changing at times the tone of the game with a shift when the team really needs some ozone time, pushing plays to where he wants. Would you agree with that statement? And if so, why do you think he has been able to step up like this?
Well, I think if Patrice Bergeron wasn't playing on the team, he would be number one for me. Because Bergeron's numbers are absolutely incredible right now. He's going to hit 30 goals. You know, I want to get back. You know, we can talk about Charlie Coyle here in a second. But Bergeron right now, if you take away the injured games, and what did he miss? 10 some odd games earlier this season. He's on a 44-goal pace if he had played the entire season, scoring at this rate. He's going to hit 30 goals for the third consecutive season. He has never done that during his career. He has outscored David Pastrnak since he came back into the lineup on December 9th. Let's move over to Charlie Coyle. I think it's kicked into gear for whatever reason. But without fail, if he's got the puck in the offensive zone, how often do you see it? He drops the shoulder. He stick handles with one hand, shakes off the checker with the other hand, takes the puck to the front of the net, and he's either delivering a shot, or the other thing that Charlie talked about is what he really likes is if he's able to drive to the front of the net, then he's able to draw people to him because there's a breakdown in coverage, and that's where an opening can take place. But he's been terrific in the offensive zone and steady in the defensive zone.
Judd Surratt joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Appreciate you getting up with us this morning, and we'll be tuned in late tonight for the call.
My pleasure, boys. Take care.
All right, and you're Judd and Bob in Vancouver, 9:30 pregame, 10 o'clock faceoff here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We've got Billy Jaffe here in studio. We will continue with him. We'll get to more of your calls coming up, 617-779-0985. Reaction to the trade yesterday, and are the Bruins done? We'll talk more about that coming up in the next segment. It's Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Shoe center fire!
Hockey Show on your home of the Bruins, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe taking your calls at 617-779-0985. Are the Bruins done after the deal yesterday? Would you like to see them make another move before the deadline, which, of course, is coming up on Monday afternoon? Right before we get back into the calls, Billy, somebody on Twitter brought it up, so I wanted to bring it to the air, too. Today is the 40th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice.
Awesome.
Most amazing thing about that for me, and shows how much times have changed, it didn't air live on television in the United States. Like, I've never been able to get beyond that, that, you know, you hear stories, and I think Felger was telling a story about a guy, you know, the Minnesota or the sports anchor out in Milwaukee spoiled it. Like on the evening news, said big upset in the world, you know, in Olympic hockey. And it's like, you know, people were throwing things at their TVs. Like, can you imagine a sporting event of that magnitude?
No.
Not being on, you know, not being available to watch live.
No. As you said, how things change. What a moment. I mean, I believe, if I remember correctly, I was 11. I had a game. I had a game that I was playing. And then I think we heard it. U.S. did well afterwards, and we're all running home to watch it.
I'm not even old enough to remember it. I was alive, amazing. But I was like 3.5 years old. I don't remember. Wasn't old enough to really experience it.
It's funny. I'm having a brain cramp right now. It was either that game or the final, the Finnish game, where I actually had a game. I think one of them I saw on the tape delay, because I remember running up to my room that they won, and you know, you're 11-year-old, and hockey's everything in the world to me, and I remember just making a point of, I think I wrote a note to myself, you know, I want to make the U.S. Olympic team. You know, it was just such a...
How'd you do on that?
Played in the U.S. Junior Olympic tournament when I was 17, senior, invited to that. That was about the closest I got. No, not when you're not any good. You know? No, I played in that, it was the U.S. They used to call it they had an Olympic festival, but they also every couple of years had these USA Junior Olympic tournaments, and you played for your region. And I did that as a 17-year-old. But anyways, what an awesome, awesome moment. Next week, I'm scheduled to sit down with the four BU players that played in it and do a round kind of
nice
20-minute discussion after our show on Saturday.
Very nice.
Yeah, should be fun.
Let's go to Howard in the car. You're next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Billy. Yeah, Billy, hockey was everything to me, too, and I've watched the Bruins since the 60s. I'll be 60 next year, and this team is so entertaining. It's almost hard for me to imagine that, you know, they are going to trade, and somebody's going to have to go down, and I just wondered, Billy, do you think that they're done as far as, like, is Kreider still a possibility? And then...
No.
Will they sign?
I don't see Kreider being a possibility. I don't.
No. I hope they re-sign Krug. And then as far as a left defenseman, what about Gustafsson from Chicago? And I'll listen.
Definitely an option there. A name that he got held out last night. They elected the hockey ops people in Chicago right before warm-ups, elected to pull him and not play him. So there's obviously some talk for him. He can probably garner a pretty good kickback for them. I you're not getting a first round pick for him, but you know, maybe second. And what about him? I mean, here's the thing: you've already what are you moving? What are you?
That's where you get hampered about, you know, again, not having the first round pick takes away some of your ammunition for deals like that. If you're going to talk about,
yeah, he's a UFA,
like a Kreider or somebody like
Kreider,
that.
They're going to want so much for it. And I was told the other day again that the Kreider camp is still waiting to see what the Rangers are going to, if they're going to offer.
So they might get signed at the last minute here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still a possibility. I thought he would, from what I'd been hearing, and now it's, I don't know. What do I know? I feel like he's going to get traded now. And I think Colorado's going to make a big push for him. Big push. They have a lot of assets and money.
There's another name that has seemed to pop up here a number of places in the last couple of days as might be available. And I don't know that the Bruins would be in play on this anymore or not. Was Brandon Saad out in Chicago has started. I've seen his name pop up in a few different places.
Yeah, he can play mostly left, can play some right wing, but he's got another year at $6 million after this year. So now, okay, you know, again, you're definitely moving something bigger off your roster. And then you've got to say, wait a second. We gained money with Backus's deal going away, but we took some money for Kasha, right? But now if you're going to take $6 million on there, you're saying, well, who's going off our roster? And then does that allow us flexibility to try and sign Krug? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Look, good player, has that Stanley Cup smell on him. I agree with you. The price is probably a little too high in a couple of different regards.
I think that would be, you know, cumbersome. I don't see him as a first-round pick return type of guy. But again, that extra year, having him signed. But after that, he's a UFA. By the way, just go back to Gustafson. He's not making much. He's making 1.2. But he is a UFA to be as well. I always love depth, no doubt about it. Are you moving? Well, I mean, okay, so say you move John Moore. I'm just playing hypothetical here. So, yeah, you move that money. You probably have to move more in a pick, is my guess, type of thing. But where are you putting him now? Now you're playing him over Grizz? You're playing him over Krug? You're playing him over Chara? I don't know.
Well, the other part of that, too, is, look, if you're adding somebody who's going to be here and, you know, has term on their contract, we were talking earlier about, you know, the idea of moving Backus's contract or three quarters of it might help you be able to keep Torrey Krug this summer.
Right.
If you start adding, you know, somebody who's got term on their contract, who's got, you know, a legitimate salary, something that's going, you know, that could hamstring you in that regard, especially because you have Grizzlick and DeBrusk and, you know, guys who also need bumps in pay this offseason.
Exactly.
Let's go to John in Chelmsford. You're up next here with Johnston and Jaffe here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
All right, thanks, guys. Now that Sweeney made this deal and he secured the Casse deal, now I honestly think that Sweeney kind of forced the Rangers' hands, because if I'm not mistaken, doesn't Kreider have a no-trade clause? And he can nullify any deal that they make. Obviously, I mean, if Sweeney is interested, he wants to come to the Bruins. So I think, in a way, Sweeney kind of forced the Rangers' hands here, where they might have to take whatever Sweeney offers. Yeah. So that way they don't lose him in the summer, because chances are Sweeney figures, if we don't get him now, we'll just wait to the off season and sign him as a free agent. So I honestly think Sweeney could actually have the Rangers there for Kreider.
He's not the only bidder. If he's in on that, I mean, it's not like it's Bruins or bust.
It might bring the price down
he's got a no trade for. He can set 11 teams that they can't trade him to. So 2/3 of the league he's available to.
Right.
So if the Bruins are interested, you're not going to be the only bidder for his services.
I think that Colorado, look, they lost Mikko Rantanen last week for an extended period of time. Kadri's already out. This Colorado team, I like them. I like them a lot. And right now, if I remember, I'm going to get the exact number for you. They have the third lowest payroll right now in the NHL. Are you kidding me? And they don't have a second round pick this year, but they have every other round covered. They've got all the picks for next three first round picks are all there, so they could move one of those, no problem. But they're missing guys, and to me, a guy like Kreider could add significant punch to their top six. I mean, on injured reserve, they've got Rantanen, Kadri, Colin Wilson, and Matt Calvert out. $19.5 million in salary.
Whew.
So I think they're going to make a big push for him. Well, I don't know if he's on the list, if Kreider has him on the – I can't imagine you have him on the no-trade list.
John is in Boston. You're next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, boys. Billy, what about returning Jumbo Joe Thornton just for the run for the cup as insurance, you know, signs the 7-pound beard, you know?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Does he have anything left in the tank?
That's the question. I think he'd be absolutely jacked up. Now, listen – Joe Thornton has a say, I think, where he's going to go too. He's got a no-movement clause, so he would have to approve it.
Right.
So the question is, would he approve coming back to Boston? He's got kids, family, et cetera, West Coast. Does he want to come East Coast? If he says for an opportunity to win the Cup, I don't know. I'd like to think he'd say yes, but I don't know. I haven't texted with Jumbo in a long time. On the other hand, what does he have left? Rhetorically speaking, it's a valid point because he has definitely lost a step. In 60 games this year, he has 2 goals. He's a minus 14, 23 assists, playoff player. I mean, yeah, he's performed in the playoffs. RJ, over his career, 133 points in 179 games. But we talk about pace of play come playoff time. Would he be good with being a guy in and out of the lineup? He's not going to be a fourth liner. That's not your identity right there. Could he be a third liner? I guess, you know, I look at that second and third line, the Krejci and the Coyle line, and I don't want to say one's a two, one's a three, because sometimes that three becomes two, as we saw, and vice versa. So could you get a 2A and a 2B line, and Thornton shuffles into that left side there? Maybe a bit. I don't see him taking the center spot from either Krejci or Coyle.
No.
So, you know, for the run, sure. Could he win some faceoffs? Yeah. Could he maybe help the second power play times? Yeah. Can he play with the pace that's needed? I don't know.
I mean, I know it's not a great team he's got there, but, I mean, 2 goals in 60 games for Joe Thornton just screams to me, done.
He's never been a shoot-first guy, but look, last year he did have 16 goals.
Yeah.
I know.
Let's go to Mike in the car. You'll get the last one in this segment. Hey, Mike.
Hey. How about J.G. Pageau on Ottawa? Because it seems like he's probably definitely going to return there. Could you get him for cheap, you know, no first-round pick?
Well, maybe. But again, okay, so he's a center. I guess the question becomes, and I like Pageau's year. I do. I give him, high marks for playing consistently well all year. Where are you putting him? Are you moving now? Are you moving Coyle out of that 3 slot and moving him to the right wing where you hopefully have Kasha?
See, Pageau would have been a guy, if you didn't make the Kasha deal,
you could get him, and then
like
you could,
that might have been a okay. Well, if we have to, instead of getting a wing, we get a center. We can move Coyle into the second line, and we can work it out that way.
Yeah, I agree.
But now that you've made that move, it doesn't make as much sense.
Yeah, and I don't see the versatility of being a winger for him. As much as I do, he's more of a center. At least Jumbo, I think, could play more. I know he can, wing and center. But
all right, you got Junior Eagles today?
Starting off, yep. Roll leagues, let's go.
And then tonight, catch Billy and the Ness and crew late night.
Yes, and I will have my sport coat on early on. I think. I don't know. Who knows? It's late. Ness and after hours. It's late. Yeah, 9:30 pre. We get going. Let's see. Bruins won 4-0 last time these two teams played. I'm curious to see again if Vancouver carries some ill will into this one. Vancouver's a pretty good team. They're a pretty good team. I like Travis Green as a coach an awful lot. Let's see if the Bruins can get greedy and get at least one, if not two more points out of this, buddy.
Well, good luck to you and the Junior Eagles.
We'll be watching
tonight. All right. We will continue another half hour still to go on the Sports Hub Hockey Show, and Bob Beers is going to join us from out in Vancouver, his thoughts on the trade, the deadline, and the road trip to this point, as well as a preview of tonight's game, all coming up here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Miss something?
This is a black and gold freight train.
Catch the Hockey Show podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and the Sports Hub app.
The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub Hockey Show, our final half hour on this Saturday. Ryan Johnston here in the Town Fair Tire Studios. We'll hopefully be talking to Bob Beers here in just a second. This hour of the Sports Hub Hockey Show brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Looking to finance a mortgage? Let the experienced residential loan officers of East Boston Savings Bank guide you. Call 978-977-7100 today. Bruins made a deal yesterday for Andre Kasha from the Anaheim Ducks. He will be joining the team this week. Hasn't played in the last handful of games as he's been dealing with flu-like symptoms, as it was reported, but in a good spot potentially to help this team. The trade, as we've been talking about it, they give up David Backes and they retain a quarter of his salary. They give up Axel Anderson, the prospect junior prospect, and then they give up their first-round draft pick this year, which obviously is the centerpiece of the trade from the Anaheim perspective. So that's been done now, and now, you know, a couple of days still to go before the deadline. Does Don Sweeney, does he have some more tinkering that he wants to do with this lineup? Does he have some more tinkering he wants to do with this roster? Obviously, that's still on the table here. So we welcome in Bob Beers now from Vancouver. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Bob.
Morning, Ryan.
Well, big news of yesterday, in addition to the win, was the trade. What did you think of the trade? What do you think of Kasha and what little we've seen of him against the Bruins? What can you tell us, if anything, about this guy and how he'll fit on this roster?
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I don't know a whole lot about him. I mean, we've only seen him a few times. I'm just going on based on, you know, the description of Bruce Cassidy and Donnie Sweeney. And I actually talked to a couple of people from Calgary, including Jeff Ward last night or yesterday morning, actually, about Kasha. He had good things to say about him, you know, good player, fast, skilled, can play, you know, different areas. I know Don Sweeney talked about the 5-on-5 play. The one thing that you look at is the fact that he's a little on the smaller side, or he's not a big guy, let's put it that way, and he plays hard. And because of that, you know, that brings in a couple of injuries. So, well, that's something to keep an eye on, but certainly skilled and fast, that's enticing. The fact that, you know, they got out of David Backus's contract, and I know that they retained 25% of it, but the fact that they, you know, they only retained 25%, I think that's huge. I really do. We've been looking at that contract saying, look, you know, and all due respect to David Backus and what he's been able to do throughout his career. I think there's a lot of respect for him in that locker room and within the organization, but they had to get out of that contract. And they did, for the most part, 75% of it. So that's huge. And they had to do a first rounder to get it, but in doing so, they get, you know, a good player who has another year left on his contract, a good young player with another year left on his contract.
Yeah, and, you know, I think most of us, as we've talked about that a lot in the past, I think most of us expected that if and when they were able to move that contract, it was going to be probably the best they were going to do was going to have to retain 50% of it, not 25.
Right.
And then there was, you know, thoughts by a lot of people that they might not be able to do that at the deadline. That might be something that had to wait until the offseason. And then you were going to be up against potentially having to buy him out and save even less money than that. So
yeah, and what was the buyout? That was going to cost him $4 million next year. If
right,
a buyout.
You know,
so as of right now, it's $1.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that part of it. Forget about the player that you're getting back, but just that part of it was, you know, was worth doing, and because of the flexibility that it gives you now. You know, if they want to make more moves, they have the possibility of doing that. But as Billy and I were talking earlier in the show today, it also potentially frees up money that you're going to need this offseason with Krug and Grizzlick and DeBrusk and some of these guys that need raises. And, of course, Krug is the big one there about whether he's even going to be here or not. But that, you know, that gives you flexibility for a lot of different things by saving that $4 million.
Yes, and, well, $4.5 million, actually.
Yeah.
But then you bring it in $2.5 million with Kasha.
Sure.
Right. So it's, you know, there is definitely savings there, but you know, the flexibility. So I know that it's the general manager's job to be, and the organization's job to be prepared for what's going to happen in the summer. I still want to see what they want to do at this deadline, and they have flexibility. Yes. In the summer now, more flexibility than they had before, but are they going to make another move between now and Monday? And that's, you know, that I'm kind of keeping an eye on that, whether it's a depth, I assume it'd be a depth move, forward D, you know, do they go out and do something else? That's kind of my eyes are on that right now, between now and Monday, to see if they shore things up. And, you know, most teams, when you're looking at some of these deals that have been done here over the last few days, no team has been giving up anybody off their current roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think Toronto might have given up somebody. They did give up somebody off their current roster. That deal was made out of real necessity, you know, for their backup goaltender. But I don't think any of these other teams have given up anybody, and I could be wrong, but I don't think any of these teams have given up anybody off their current roster, and that's something that the Bruins, you know, wanted to make sure that they did, and then they got this deal done without giving up, you know, because David Backus had been moved, you know, either to Providence, I know on paper, but they didn't give up anybody. So I think that that's been important to all teams trying to make deals at this deadline.
Yeah, I'm scrolling down the list here as you're saying that, and there really isn't much. I mean, it's mostly has been picks and prospects. I think, you know, like Timmy Schaller going to L.A., you know, for you know, Toffoli deal or something like that. But for the most part, you're right. It's been you know, basically player for draft picks.
Right. For the most part, exactly.
If you are in Don Sweeney's shoes, you said, you know, you're looking at potential of what might happen here over the next couple of days. What else would you like to see them target?
Well, I think Jeremy Luzon has played a good role on that back end on the right side. You've got Connor Clifton, who's back and healthy now, and he's playing down in Providence, I believe on conditioning stint. But if Kevin Miller is not going to be available, that type of player for the sixth defenseman. And I know Luzon dropped the gloves last night, and I know he's done a nice job. He's acquitted himself well. But if you can get somebody a little bit more established, just add depth. I mean, he doesn't even have to be ahead of Luzon or Clifton. But if you have some depth on that right side, maybe that would maybe be something that I would look at. But if Kevin Miller were going to be healthy, and that's the great unknown, right, because he's skating now, but he hasn't played all year, and he didn't play last year in the playoffs. You know, I think that they, I mean, he's a unique player, Kevin Miller is. A really big fan of his and the way that he plays. And I don't know if you can get that or not, but that would be something that I would kind of, that would be something I would look at.
So is, I mean, basically somebody who gives you just another option if you come up against a, you know, a tougher team in the playoffs versus a more skilled team, like just kind of expanding your options. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. And depth on the back end. I mean, it's, you know, it's been well documented. I mean, right now the Bruins are probably nine deep. If you count Camper and Clifton, as your defenseman, they've got seven here with the team right now. And then you've got two down in Providence. So they're nine deep. So they, I mean, you know, they're in a decent situation right there, but I mean, I always like to see a Kevin Miller type of player, especially come playoff time, in your lineup. And that's hard to get. I understand that, but if, and they have to gauge, you know, where Kevin's, health is right now. So if he's not healthy, then that might be just an area that they would target.
If they don't make a move between now and Monday, if they don't make another one, are they good enough to win the Stanley Cup as composed?
I think they are, because we've seen in the playoffs that it you know, you go into the playoffs if you're playing the game the right way, if you're hitting, you know, I mean, it's hard to say, Ryan, right? I mean, there's 31 teams. There's going to be 16 in the playoffs. I think it's wide open once the playoffs start. I really do. And St. Louis kind of proved that last year. Again, teams have proved that over the years. It's wide open once the playoffs start. You know, who had Columbus beating Tampa last year in the first round, especially the way that they did? You know, did you have the Islanders beating Pittsburgh? There's a lot of different factors that come into play in the playoffs. I like the way that the Bruins are playing right now. You know, despite the fact they gave up three goals last night and the way that they gave them up, then they kind of shut it down after that. They really didn't give up a whole lot in that game, you know, other than maybe the power play chances in the third period. I love the way that they're playing right now. And that type of game makes them, you know, real dangerous come playoff time, because they can play that lockdown. They've got the goaltending. They've got the team defense. They're harder to play against. They've found that identity that they've been searching for, you know, throughout the year, that all teams try to find at some point. And I do like the way that they've been playing. So are they good enough? Yeah, they are. And let's see how Kasha, you know, incorporates himself into the lineup as well, where he fits best. Does he fit best with Krejci? You know, is he going to be healthy? You know, what happens in the last 20 games? How healthy are guys going into the playoffs? That's another big factor. But if you're telling me you've got everybody in your lineup, everybody's healthy, yeah, I like this team. I mean, why not? They're number one in the NHL right now. They'll have their hands full against Tampa if they have to play them. They'll have their hands full against any team in the playoffs. That's just playoff hockey. So But I do like the way that they're playing right now, and the way that they're playing right now is good enough. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that comes, you know, to fruition in the playoffs, that's something different.
Well, I mean, I think if you ask yourself, if you were another team, would you want to come in, up against the Bruins in the playoffs? I think the answer would be no. I wouldn't want to play this team in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I mean, and all teams present different challenges, right? If you're going to play, you know, who are you going to play in the first round? Well, if you finish first, you're either going to play most likely Florida if you're going to finish first, you might play somebody in the Metro. I mean, it's still wide open. There's 20 games to go. Who knows who you're going to play? There's still a lot of factors. There's still a lot of things that can happen. The only thing that's almost certain is that the Bruins and Tampa are going to finish 1-2 in some form. Right, and the Bruins have to play Tampa twice in this month. They play Florida a couple times in this month. So, you know, there's still a lot of different ways this can go. And they played Tampa. There's been some good games against Tampa so far this season, but they've got two more against them. I think you get a little bit better gauge there. But, you know, you're not going to play Tampa in the first round. So, I love looking at what-ifs in the playoffs, but there's 20 games to go, and nobody predicted what happened in last year's playoff. And you can go back years and years now, and it's hard to predict what's going to happen in the playoffs.
Let's talk a little bit about last night's game. As you said, they get behind by a couple of goals quickly, down 3-1 in that first period. And then, you know, they managed to turn the tide and really kind of lock things down. What happened early on in that game that allowed Calgary to get to the lead that they did? And how were they able to counteract that the rest of the way?
Well, they turned pucks over. They gave up odd man rushes. I mean, there's things that we haven't seen with the Bruins in a while here. I mean, it all happened in a hurry, right? I mean, you know, Calgary came in. There was a stat that they had scored 31 goals in their last six games. You know, so they were scoring. They were also allowing a lot of goals, but they were scoring a ton. And that was the Calgary team we saw yesterday, you know, especially early. And they came at the Bruins hard. The Bruins didn't handle it all that well. He said they turned a couple pucks over in the neutral zone. There was one specifically that, you know, led to an odd man rush the other way. There was a breakdown in coverage. Lauzon had broken his stick, or at least lost his stick. Krejci was the only guy back, and all of a sudden you got Goudreau walking right down the slot. I know it was a bit of a fluky goal, but still, you know, that was a pretty good opportunity for Goudreau walking down the slot, a good player. After that, you know, the Bruins, they got to play in one, and I think it was important that they got back to 3-3, and then they took over that game the second half of the first period. You know, and then it became a Bruins game after that. You know, they score early in the second. They didn't give up a whole lot other than maybe the power play chances in the third period. There was a shot that went off the post in the second, but they played pretty good team defense, and that's what they're going to have to do. You know, that's their identity. Hard to play against, team defense, and how they play moving forward. You know, there's some other areas I look at, Ryan, right now for the team that need to kind of shore themselves up. One area is the fourth line that, you know, with Sean Corrali in the middle and Bleed played last night. Who knows? We'll see who's going to play today. It might be Nordstrom back in there, Wagner on the right side. That line had a real firm identity last year and played against a lot of teams, other top lines. They've been a little off this year. And I know that Achari was part of it last season, but that's an area that they're really looking to try to get back to having them play the way that they're capable of. And I don't think that they've been quite the same as they were last year. So they're looking for that right now. And I think that that's, you know, when you're looking at this team moving forward and where they need to improve, you know, you laugh, you say, well, fourth line, what does that mean? But they play a lot of important minutes, and I think that that's an identity that they're trying to get back to.
You guys made the quick trip from Calgary to Vancouver for the matchup tonight. Vancouver's right in the middle of this, you know, Pacific Division, where you can go from first place to out of the playoffs in the space of about 2 days if you're not careful. You know, Calgary came out really strong last night. I would expect that we anticipate a similar attack from Vancouver right tonight, as they need points, right, if they're going to solidify their playoff spot.
Yeah, and when Vancouver was in Boston, you know, no excuses, but they were a bit of a tired team. They had been on a road trip. They were they were a bit beat up in that game coming in, and they looked at they didn't have the same speed and the game that I've seen them play here this season. They didn't have that game, and the Bruins, to their credit, did a good job in shutting them down. So I do expect a little bit of a different look here tomorrow from Vancouver in terms of how they play this game. They do play with a lot of speed and skill up front, and they didn't display that as much against the Bruins. So we'll see what they bring here tomorrow, but I do expect a better Vancouver team against Boston tonight.
All right, Bob, appreciate the time as always, and safe travels as you guys head home after the game tonight. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Bob Beers joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline as we wind down this edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Look, we talked a lot, obviously, today about the trade made yesterday by Don Sweeney. In talking with Bob Beers there and talking with Judd Surratt, Ty Anderson, Billy Jaffe, all of our crew here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show this week, I'm leaving here today with the expectation that there's more coming. I do feel like there's another deal to be made here. I feel like, whether it's, depth defensively is Bob, and maybe there's multiple ones. I don't know, but is whether there's the depth defensively that Bob Beers was talking about there a few minutes ago, or whether you're talking about the possibility of taking a bigger swing at, Palmieri or someone of that ilk or Anderson from Columbus. You've got some cap flexibility to do that for a rental right now. I feel like this is one of those times, right? We maybe do it too much, that we want the GM to just go all in and try and win a championship. I think if there's ever going to be a time to do it, this is the one. This is the one. And so I will not be shocked if by 3 o'clock on Monday, Don Sweeney hasn't pulled off something bigger than the Casa deal. We'll wait and see on that. That's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Christian Arcand is around. Are you solo or are you? He's not even listening. He doesn't care. He's going to be in coming up next. I will be back tomorrow, afternoon tomorrow from 12 until 3. Marshall Hook and I believe, are going to be here with you. So we'll talk to you then. We'll do a little bit more hockey talk there as well. So join me then. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.